Okay, let's begin our discussion of Parshas Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar, Tavshin Pei Daled, as we start a new chapter in our getting through the Torah this year, and part four of God's autobiography, and that is Sefer Bamidbar. And we start off with an amazing thought from Rabbi Sacks, who says something simple, but never thought about it before. As many of his thoughts are. The first two thoughts that we have tonight are relating to the overall Sefer Bamidbar. Hopefully at the end we'll have one thought on Shavuos as well. Haba Aleinu Latova, Chag Matan Torasenu. So Rabbi Sacks notes here in his Sefer, Judaism's Life-Changing Ideas, that Sefer Shmos and Sefer Bamidbar have many parallels. If you think about the two, they're both about journeys. They're both about traveling, right? The other books are not. Vayikra and Dvarim are all about laws. All about laws. Shmos and Bamidbar are journeys. And Bereishis is creation. And creation of a world, of a family, and of a nation. Right? That's the Sefer. Again, it doesn't get to the nation part of it, but it's laying the groundwork. So two journeys. That's what he calls this article. They are both about journeys. They both portray the Jews, the Israelites, as quarrelsome and ungrateful. Both contain stories of the people complaining about food and water. Amazing, the parallels. In both, Israelites commit a major sin. Right, Sefer Shmos, we have Chet HaEgel, and Sefer Bamidbar, we have Chet HaMeraglim, among others. In both, God threatens to destroy them and begin again with Moshe. Both times, Moshe's compassionate appeal persuades God to forgive the people. It's easy, when reading the book of Numbers, Bamidbar to feel a sense of deja vu. We've been here before. We're traveling again. We're complaining again. We sinned again. But Rabbi Sacks says so incisively, there's a major difference between the two journeys. Shmos is a journey from, and Bamidbar is a journey to. Shmos is called Exodus. That's not the translation of the word Shmos, but that's what we call it, right? We call it in English Exodus because it's the journey from. Right, Bamidbar is on the way to Eretz. Right, without the Meraglim, they would have gone in, would have ended with the Knesa La'aretz. That's the difference. They have spent a prolonged period in the Sinai Desert. Towards the bottom, they've received the Torah and built the Mishkan. Now they're ready to move on. This time, we're looking forward, not back. They're thinking not of danger, turning the page, that they're fleeing from, but of the destination they're traveling to, Eretz Yisrael. So, says Rabbi Sacks, if we had never read the Torah before, we might have assumed that the second half of the journey would be easier and more relaxed, the people more optimistic, the mood more hopeful. After all, there's no more danger. They're not thinking about the Mitzrayim anymore. Right, they already saw Kriyas Yamsuf. So that's all behind them, the hardships. But now, the vistas of opportunity and the openness of their dreams. After prolonged refusal, finally, Pharaoh had let the people go. Miraculously, Kriyas Yamsuf, they defeated Amalek. What more to worry about? And in fact, the opposite is true. You reach most, okay, they sinned, but in general, besides that, there's optimism, there's building, there's stuff going on. And Sefer Bamidbar, every parsha, you get banged on the head. Baloscha, we a number of stories. All the peronios that we have to separate the nuns and shlach and korach, right? Every part of the chukas Moshe hits the rock. The mood of Numbers is palpably darker than it is in Shmos. The rebellions are more serious. Moshe's leadership is more hesitant. We see him giving way at times to anger and despair. Why is that? Says Rabbi Sacks, the journey from is always easier than the journey to. Why is that? He says, so it is in politics. It could take a revolution. You could undo a government that's tyrannical. But then to build one, to create something good, it's much easier to break down something bad than to build something good. Likewise, in the life of the individuals, there are endless stories in the modern world of Jews who are determined to break free of the ghetto and what they saw as Jewish provincialism and backwardness. Right, they broke out of shichrur and threw away halacha, and yet what happens when they want to create something substantive and meaningful? And he says there's a biological reason why this is so. were genetically predisposed to react strongly to danger. When there's something negative and danger around us, our deepest instincts are aroused. Right? We share that with the animals. We move into the fight or flight mode with our senses alert, our attention focused, and our adrenaline levels high. But it's instinctive to like run away from something. That's easy. But fleeing too is something else entirely. Making a home in a place where literally or metaphorically we have not been before. We have to create. We're going to a new land. The Meraglim were not interested in that. Right? That was too unknown. It's too hard. The going to could be even more overwhelming. The going from, you know what you're fighting about, what you're trying to get rid of. The building forward, that's even harder. And that's what we see in Sefer Bamidbar. He even says, that's the difference between Avraham and Terach. The Torah tells us, we don't always notice this, that Terach left with Avraham. The end of Parshas Noach, this Terach went with Avraham. Terach took his son Avraham and they went out together from Ur Kazdim to go to Canaan. When they came to Haran, he stopped. Right? Terach stopped. Avraham kept going. Right? Terach had sufficient willpower for the journey from, but not to the journey to. Once the danger passed, Terach was good. I'm good. I'm going to stay here. I'm already done from the from. I don't need any more. Avram was told to go to the unknown. To be a Jew is to know that in some sense life is a journey. So it was for Avram, so it was for Moshe, so it is for us. Individual life is a journey, and I'll add, Jewish history is a journey. We need to recognize, as difficult and as challenging as these days are, and obviously it's challenging for Jews all over the world, but especially challenging here for us here in Eretz Yisrael, especially for those who have children on the front lines. It's challenging, but you know what? We are in a special chapter of Jewish history. We're on a journey. We're part of this journey. And we don't know the next chapter. We daven for the next chapter. But we don't know. It feels that way. It should feel that way. Which is why when students ask me for advice about their careers, I tell them the most important thing is to dream. Dream about what you would like to do, to achieve, v'chulu. And he says in the next paragraph, a very biting line, I'm amazed by how many people never really dream a future for themselves. They could spend months planning a holiday, but not even a day planning a life. Meaning you have to think about the future. We have to think about what I want to accomplish. What are my goals? To think about where we want to be. And have objective standards and goals to reach in davening and learning in chesed, in ben adam l'chaveira, whatever it is. Journey to and journey from. We're about to start the book about the journey to. So the message for us is jump on and get on for the ride, for the journey to, and do what we can to be able to accomplish. He says towards the end now of the article, the end of source number 3, the Jews in their journey made a series of mistakes. They focused too much on the present, food, water, and too little on the future. When they faced difficulties, they had too much fear and too little faith. They kept looking back to how things were instead of looking forward to how they might be. Don't think about the cucumbers and the melons. Right? Think about Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash. And that was the issue that we had, but that's what we have to try to dream about. Dream about the world that could be. And focus on the journey too, and not just the journey from. Okay. Point number one. Point number two. Point number two, again, a thought, overall thought. And this is from the Simon Labanim, from Rav Kashtiel Sefer Ala Torah. Again, he didn't write this himself, Rav in Eli, but his Talmid didn't put it together. The Maharal calls Sefer Bamidbar Sefer Hanhaga. Sefer Hanhaga. The Sefer of leadership. So that could mean Hashem's leadership. Right? Hashem leads us. That's what you see, also Shmos, but you see Hashem leading us in the desert for 40 years. Right? Sefer Bamidbar takes a long time as compared to other sections of the Torah. Or it could be the Book of Leaders. There are many leaders in Sefer Bamidbar. Right, there's Moshe, and there's contention for leadership. There's Moshe, there's Aaron, there's Pinchas, there's Korach, there's Bilam. There are many leaders that come up And, you know, Reuven and Gad were leaders of their Shvatim. Almost every Parsha, there's Eldad Umeidad, maybe tried to be leaders. So it's a lot about leadership in the Sefer. That's what he quotes from the from Gvuras Hashem. Look in the bottom, source number three. HaSefer HaRevi'i, Shashem Yisbarach Manhig Es HaNimtsa'im B'Chachmaso U'Ben Haga Ru'uya. Hashem guides and leads his creatures, his creations, with wisdom. Kamo Shoyaman Ages Yisrael B'Midbar B'Chol Maseyem Shoyahochim, like he led us in the desert. Shekol Zeh Anhagas Hashem Yisbarach HaNimtsa'im B'Ben Haga Ru'uya. Lefichach Maschu LaSefer B'Midbar B'Sefer T'Galim. Hashem tells us how to march, how to stand, how to go. Api Hashem Yachanu, v'api Hashem Yiso. It's a book of Hashem leading us. And then Rav Kashiel deals with a question based on the Medrash. Based on the Medrash. Right, the Medrash says, beginning of Parshas Beshalach, turning over the page, Derech Hamidbar Yamsuf. Derech Hamidbar Yamsuf. That's where Hashem leads us out. Rav Eliezer Omer Derech. Why did it take so long? Why did it take so long? Even before the Meraglim. Or also maybe in addition. There must have been a reason. Yes, Chazal say that it was supposed to take 11 days just to get in, but it ended up Lamaisa not taking 11 days. There seems to have been something that we needed to learn in those years. Says the Medrash, Reb Elazar Omer Derech Kedei Liyag'am, in order to tire them out, to make them be Miyageya. What's that? Hamidbar, number two, Kedei Litzarfam. Right, we darshan every word. Midbar, to purify them. Litzarfam, like you purify gold, siruf. Yamsuf, Kedei Lanasosam, to test them. What are these three dais? Liyagam, Litzarfam, and Lanasosam. Says Rav Kashdiel, line 14. Mataras ahalicha derech Hamidbar, hoysa lachasel es b'nei Yisrael, shalosh mataros. Three goals. That Rabbi Elazar lists off. Yigiyah, Tziruf, Nisayon. So what are these? So there are three lessons that we had to learn, as we're about to see in the Midbar, that are crucial for the nation. This is nation building. And this is Hashem being manhig, the nation, in its infancy, to be able to have these midos forevermore in our history of our nation. So, number one, line 18. Me'etzem hayos adam bal guf. The fact that we are physical, chayev hafizim misnalim api chukei teva kavuim v'statiyim. Right? Our physical life goes based on rules and laws of biology and physics and nature. And we're kind of like who we are in space. Hamakshim al hiskadmus v'hishtandos nafshes v'ruchanis. We're created as beings, and we could just kind of like go on cruise control our whole life. To be able to go forward and grow, that's not something that's inherent in our physical bodies. Our physical bodies just want to sleep and want to stay static and not move. We have to push ourselves to grow and to accomplish. Hayetzahara Omer Maharal, Hua Teva Kavua Hamone Hisalus. One of the Yetzaharas that we have is just our nature of being physical. Like we like to be, like, look at a rock. A rock is the most physical. A rock doesn't move. A rock is a rock. Never grows. Kein Koch HaMashicha Moneas HaOfos HaGuf. It's like gravity, our physical essence pulls us down from growing. Ha'alicha b'darchi ha'midbar, hit'afyena b'chanuyos kitzara shalo ifshu hit'kavut. You know what the Midbar teaches us? You gotta go from spot to spot. You gotta keep moving. You gotta go to the next makom. You gotta masa. You gotta travel. You can't stay in the same spot. The message being for every Jew, you can't stay in the same spot. You got to recognize where you are. It's a potential, an amazing potential you have. But you got to go to the next spot. You got to keep moving. And al pi Hashem yachanu, v'al pi Hashem yiso. Hamasos hechlishu es todas hastatios. Right? The travelings weakened the static reality. V'saglu la'am es tchunat ha'tnua. It taught us movement. But imagine if Hashem just created Bnei Yisrael, and then we just stayed where we were. And that was where we built our nation. No, he wanted us to in our nation's building stages, move, go, to teach us life's about going. Life's about moving. Life's about going to the next plateau. Hanhaga pi Hashem yotzra metzius nafshis hayodas. This hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, in Sefer Ben Midbar, teaches us, shagam im otsum lizmama, even if you're going to stop for a little while, yeshda konanus tenua b'chales, be ready for the next. Right, they never knew. Right, Chazal tell us, sometimes they were in one place for a week. Very short time. Sometimes they were there for years. Right, what do we say? Most of the traveling happened between the first year and the first 2 years and the last year, and the 38 years in between, the only... But they never knew. When that cloud moved, we're off. Right? We got to keep moving. Message number one, why we had to be in the Midbar, to keep moving. And maybe that's the first idea, liyag'am, right? To tire them out, to push them so they're constantly moving. That's what we have to do. We have to recognize that wherever we are has potential. Right? The Chafetz Chaim on Parsha Shmos, Kadosh Baruch Hu said the first statement that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu in history, the first statement, he says, Moshe, hineini, where you are, ha'aretz asher ata omed alav admas kodesh, where you're standing is holy ground, take off your shoes. What does he say? And the Chafetz Chaim darshins, where you are standing is holy ground. Where a Jew is standing is holy ground that we could accomplish and jump up to the next stage. Okay, number one. Number two, so that was the first message, what he called haderech kechinuch laguf, we have to train our physical bodies in order to keep moving, not to let our physicality weigh us down. Number two, second message, even though we're moving, this is kind of an opposite message, but it goes with it. We always have to be moving and going. But, hanefesh ha'achrait al zrimas achayim, the soul that's responsible for life movement, hadachav ha'pashut le'hizkayim, the push to stay alive, lachushu lahargish koach achayim anafshi betivo, eino balavchana betov l'ra. This natural push that we try to do doesn't always mean that we're being pushing and growing in the right direction. We're moving. We have to move. But we have to know which direction we're moving in. Maybe we're not going to make the right decisions. Gam alula lios hatakala. Right? You could slip up. So we have to keep moving, but we always have to know, watch where you step. Watch where you step. When you're in the Midbar for 40 years, even with the Ananei HaKavod, you got to watch where you're stepping. You got to watch. You're in sand, right? Maybe there'll be an animal in front of you. Maybe there'll be a cactus bush. Go forward, but always watch where you step. Make sure you're taking the proper steps. And that's message number two, as we're about to see in the Midbar. It was a time that we had to go forward, but we always had to watch our step, literally and figuratively. Ibn Asela Atzoris Koach HaChayim Ketrufa Lamaka, says the says Rav Kashia here, quoting from the Maharal, Bitul etzem tfiusam shel achayim kedeshi adam bilti chote, not moving so you don't go forward at all, zeo atzmo hachida yoser gadol. We're moving in a certain direction. We have to direct ourselves to make sure we're making those decisions. Right on the bottom, haholef bamidbar chavei vadaut. Right, there's a lot of walking in the desert, there's a lot of doubt, a lot of unknown. You look in front of you, all you see is sand. You don't see anything else. Where are we going? Ein makom yishuv, ein derech mezumenet. There are no signs. V'rabos ha'sakanos ha'arvos. Ha'molichacha b'midbar. Right, even with the Ananei HaKavod, right, what does it say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu led us, excuse me, and what's the Midbar called? B'midbar ha'goldov ha'nora, nachash, saraf, akrav. Wild animals, simona she'ein mayim. Right? Maybe they were nervous. If you're surrounded, even every day they said they had a daven for the man. What do you mean they daven? Right? Remember the Gemara at the end of Maseches Yuma? Right? Rabbi Shmuel Yochai, I think it's Talmidim, asked him, why did the man fall every day? Why didn't it fall just once a year? Why did it fall every day? So Shmuel Yochai says, because Hashem wants us to turn to him every day. Let me ask you, after a year of the man falling, you know, maybe you would have thought, you know, I have to daven for it, it's going to fall tomorrow. It fell for a year. It's going to fall tomorrow? It must be the Jews didn't, you know, they went to sleep. Maybe, like, there's no food. Right now, if the man doesn't fall tomorrow, we're done. Right? You get the impression from that Gemara that every day there was, you know, it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. I don't know if it's going to continue. How do we know? What's the raya that they were always so nervous? Right? Chayta Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu's not coming back. Forget it, we're lost. Oh, the man fell this morning. And you have the Be'er, you have Ani HaKavod. Okay, Moshe didn't come back the day that he said he was going to. What did they do? They went, they lost it. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, they were nervous. They're like, forget it, Moshe's not here, we're all going to die. What the man? But it was an anxiety-filled existence, somewhat, regarding these issues. So, that's message number two. Watch, you know, there's always danger, and there's always, you know, you don't know, watch your step. Take step was message number one, take steps. Number two, watch your step. And make the right decisions in terms of where we step. Number two. Number three. And maybe this is a message for, again, all of Jewish history. Right, what makes human beings different than any other creature, of course, is intellect, is our seichel, reflected by the power of speech, dibur, that's the kuzari, of domeim someachai medaber. Medaber is the highest. So our seichel makes us unique. Line 8, hakoach hamaafyein, biyoser es ha'adam u'aseichel. Right, that's our unique characteristic. Haseichel hu ha'mesugal la'atzev es hashkafes ha'olam ha'noshit, al pi kli ha'igayon. I use my logic to determine what I see and how things are working and how I'm going to survive. Zu tif'arto shel adam ach gam mugbaluso. Our logic is our greatest tool, but also it limits us so much because we can't think outside of logic. We can't think in supernatural terms. That's not how human beings are. That's not how our mind works. We're created with a mind. And our mind connects the dots. La'olam lo yuchal aseichel lachrog miklali alogika o miderach hanituach haratzionalis. We can't do it. You know, maybe when we're sleeping, right, we have dreams. And in our dreams, supernatural events occur. Right, one might see, elephants flying through the air or imagining, sometimes we see people in a totally different context than like, what are they doing there? But it doesn't bother us in our dream because in our dream, everything makes sense. But that's not reality. In reality, we're based on logic. Kodesh Baruch Hu, therefore, had to put us through an existence at the beginning of our history that's a totally supernatural existence. So we are taught, even though life's about using our logic, and life's about figuring out the Torah, lo b'shamayim hi, being God's partner in interpreting the Torah, but we also have to know that our existence is me'al ha'teva. And Am Yisrael has had that for thousands of years. Line 14, zekukim anu lahanhaga ha'elokit. We need the divine hanhaga, hamachadeshes keitza niten latmiya b'seichel shikulim el yunim. How we can, even though we're based and we're limited by our logical minds, we could also at least accept the fact, even if we can't understand the fact, we could accept the fact that there's a superpower out there that can act me'al ha'teva. As we just had Yom Yerushalayim today, and we think about me'al ha'teva, we remember what happened in 1967. Gam ke'elu sheklal einam hegyoniyim. So we could recognize that wouldn't have been anything that we could have imagined, or any nace for that matter. Hatzivi likaneh yamsov lenei kriyasov ein hegyoni ba'aliyah. Line 16. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, by kriyas yamsov, go into the water. That doesn't make any sense. Go into the water. What's going to happen to us? But that's part of the message. Go into the desert. Lech techa achrei b'midbar. Be'eretz lo zeruah. And don't take any snacks with you. I'll take care of you. That's message number three of Sefer Hanhaga, as the Maharal says. So if we recognize these three, Hashem is leading us and Hashem is giving the nation three important messages at the beginning of our nationhood. Number one, you always got to keep going. You can't stop. You always got to go level, mala mala, right? Sulam mutzav arsav arosha magia shemaima, right? Or we are each a ladder. Life's about getting to the next rung, right? Getting to the next rung, right? If somebody, imagine a tall ladder. Think of something before Hashem give this mashal. Imagine a tall ladder in the middle. You stop in the middle on a rung. So you look around, you're like, oh my gosh, what am I? I'm in the middle, it's very scary. As long as I'm moving, it's okay. If I'm moving up, I'm okay. Just don't look down. Right? I'm moving. So as long as I keep moving, life's about keeping moving. Keeping moving. Right? Number one. Number two, but look where I'm going. You could look up. Look up. That's step two. Be careful where you step. And number three, recognize that our existence and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga should not be limited based on just because we can't understand. Sometimes there are situations that we can't. How is this going to work out? How is this going to end? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how every situation in life is going to end, and we trust Him. We trust Him in that regard. Okay, so two thoughts about the whole Sefer. Right, Rabbi Sachs, the two types of journeys, and here the Siman Labanim from the Maharal, Sefer Hanhaga, and the three messages that we needed at the beginning of our existence. Okay, two thoughts on the first pasuk. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe. Now we'll get into the Sefer. Hashem says to Moshe, Bemidbar Sinai, Ba'oel Moed, Be'chal HaChodesh HaSheni, Bashana HaShenis. Hashem says to Moshe, on the first of the second month, remember this is one of the only places where even the Ramban, who does not like to say Ein Muktam U'Me'ucher B'Torah, has to say it here. Because Bamidbar, Perek Aleph, gives a date that is after, later on, I think it's a Perek Tes, by Midbar, or test by Pesach Sheni. Okay, so, good. So Hashem in the Midbar. Su'u es rosh kol anas b'nei Yisrael mishpachos. Some count the Jews. Count the Jews. Right, this is the command by Midbar. By Midbar. And that's why by Midbar in English is called Numbers, because there are so many senses done in this Sefer. If you look in source number 7, it's two words in the Shulchan Aruch. There's Rabbi Simon in the Imrei Baruch. In one of his articles, he quotes a thought on this Shulchan Aruch. We know the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Tov Chav Ches, that's where we have all the different laws of laning, of Kriyas HaTorah, that's where it says that in 99% of the time, sometimes things in Eretz Yisrael, depending on when Pesach was, get a little messed up a little bit, but the Shulchan Aruch says, but Midbar has to be right before Shavuos. Right, it's based on going back to Takan of Ezra, that the Betochacha has to be 2 weeks before Shavuos, and 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. Right, that's why B'chul Kosai is always 2 weeks before Shavuos, and Kisavo is 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, the Shabbos before. We read the brachas and the klalos. That's why Shavuos is always right after Bamidbar. So, and the way that is expressed in the Shulchan Aruch is Manu v'Atzru. Manu count. That's Bamidbar, the minyan v'Atzru and have Atzeres. Atzeres have Shavuos. So Manu v'Atzru. So if that's even the code that the Shulchan Aruch gives to remember this is what you always lane, Manu v'Atzru, so there must be an important connection between that. And not just from Sefer Bamidbar, but Dafka from the Minyan, from the counting. Manu v'Atzru. So what's the connection between counting Jews and the holiday of Shavuos? So explains, he quotes from the Sefer Sha'arei Simcha, who says, again, it's the thought that others say, but ki aminyan mare al hadavar hamanui sheish lo chashivus. Counting means the item counted is special. If I'm counted, that means there's something special about me. Somebody cares about me enough to count. Kimavur bebeitza, like the Gemara says in Beitza, davar shebe minyan. Something that is counted is not batel. Chashuv ein batel. Right? If I a spoonful of rice, let's say in the stores where you used to have in the olden days, we have, or sometimes even now, you have big areas, big bowls, sections of nuts or grain, and then you stick a big thing in and put it in the bag. So those aren't sold by number, they're sold by weight. So each one isn't so chashuv, because you don't sell it. What about eggs? You don't say, okay, I'll take a bunch of eggs. Eggs are, they're not only put in that special container so they don't break, but it symbolizes everyone is its own thing. Everyone, I'll take 12 eggs, right? Every egg, it's a darash of a minyan. Darash of a minyan is not batel, right? Anything counted out is chashuv. So when the Jews are counted, so that gives chashivus. That gives chashivus, right? And that's the basis for Kabbalah Satorah. To recognize that every Jew stood at Har Sinai, and every Jew has their own connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Jew is counted. The Yamshel Shlomo writes in his Akdama to Baba Kama that how is it that every Jew thinks and understands Torah differently? That we're talking about this, the same thing, and we get inspired by different aspects of a shir. Even any one shir, let's say I'll get comments. I'll give seven thoughts in every parsha shir. So I'll get comments. This one person liked that one. What's the best thought? Everybody thinks differently. The Avshal Shlomo says, because at Har Sinai, we each had our own personal Kabbalah Satover. We each had our own experience. It's like our own pipeline going down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We each had our own experience. And that's why the Shavuos is right after Bamidbar. Bamidbar is right before Shavuos because Bamidbar is about counting. Every Jew should know that they're counted. I heard this week also that if you look, what age are we counted from? Age 20. Esrim Shana. Okay, age 20. So Moshe Rabbeinu, right, is going to go around and he's going to count me. That's going to make me feel pretty good. Moshe Rabbeinu counted me. I'm one. Everybody's one. I'm one. Just like Aaron Cohen is one, I'm one. So that's understandable. Later on, though, as we know, Sheva Levi is counted separately. And Sheva Levi, for various reasons we've discussed in the past, is counted from Chodesh. 30 days. 30 days. What is that? Why do you have to be counted from 30 days? You're not doing the Avoda. You're not fighting in the army. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu count the babies? Right, a Chazal even say that, how can Moshe count the babies? So what, he went into every tent? That's not so tsanua. Right, what'd he do? He used to go to the doorway of the tent, and a basko went out and said, 3. Right, and the numbers. Why'd Moshe have to do that? And Moshe said, okay, 3. So when that kid gets older, his parents could tell him, you know, Moshe counted you. You might not remember. It's like parents will tell a child when they get older, you know, you shook that Gadol's hand. I did? He shook my hand? We might not remember it. The child won't remember it. But he'll know that Moshe counted him. And he has that special connection too, and that's why Atzru, Manu v'Atzru, right, count, we should remember that we are counted. We are each counted, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his chashivus in that. And that's what Rashi says. Rashi says at the beginning of the Parsha that Hashem loves us, and that's why he counts us all the time. Right? That's the chavivus in the beginning. Mitochi basan lefanav mona osam kalsha. Because he has a special love and affinity for us, he counts us all the time. Kishiyatim Yisrayim, manan. Kshaf lebegal, manan. Kshabal asher shkinaso. People count what they love. People who love money, count their money. People who love cars, count their cars. People who love svarim, count their svarim. People, whatever, you count what you love. So, that's the thought that we learn out from Manu v'Atzru. Also related to the first pasuk, the first thought in the Aznayim LaTorah on the Parsha, Rav Sirotzkin. Source number 8, Rav Sirotzkin tells us, is there a connection between the beginning of Bamidbar and the end of Vayikra? Right, often Mefarshim wonder is there a connection between the end of Dvarim to the beginning of Bereishis? La'enei kol Yisrael, Bereishis bar Elokim. But he asks, what about Vayikra to Bamidbar? Lama nisvacha parshas bekudim v'hadegalim l'parshas temura shebesefer Vayikra. Right, what's at the end of Vayikra? What's the last mitzvah? The last mitzvah in Sefer Vayikra, there's a lot of mitzvahs in Vayikra, right? Lo yivaker me'tol the rabble lo yimirenu, v'im hamer yimirenu v'ayahu smarasi yekodesh lo yigael. No, the isra of temura, right? Substitution. Right? If I have a karbon, I designate one karbon and I want to switch it, I'm not allowed to switch it. Not allowed to switch it. And if I do, they're both karbon. The point is, the first karbon is never undone. You can't remove the sanctity of a karbon unless it gets a mum. But that's the Isra of Temura at the end of Vayikra. What does that have to do with the beginning of Bamidbar? Says the Zayim Torah, relating to the thought that we just said. Mipnei shebnei Yisrael nimnu mipnei chibasa. Hashem loves us. Vayidea degalim hasovavim es aron Hashem. Through the flags and the places where we're supposed to sit that surround the aron. Nidmu l'malachei hasharis. Remember that medrash? The medrash says that we're like malachim. The malachim have flags and we have flags. And we're all surrounding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. the malachim, the angels, surrounded HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chariot, kaviyachol, whatever that means, b'shas matan Torah, just like we surrounded the Aron, down her, down here on earth. V'niskanu umos olam banu v'shalu, and the umos olam asked us, they were jealous. Lama zachu b'nei Yisrael azeh, v'anu lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shumasha shchinasa rak alam yuchasim. Because these Jews come from the Avos. These Jews come from the Avos. They're special. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to the other nations, the Gemara tells us, and the Medrash tells us they didn't want it, but then Hashem chose us. So you might think, as we have our Degalim and we start marching, right? We start, Bamidbar is really the beginning of, not the beginning, but right after leaving Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, we still became a nation. It's still beginning. Once we left Har Sinai, now we are a nation. Right, when we left Mitzrayim, we were almost a nation. And then once we had the Torah, then we were a nation. We didn't leave. So we didn't like get involved in the world until Sefer Bamidbar, when we start leaving. So, beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, we are hinted to. Shema Yala Aladaz. Maybe one might think. Shebizman min azmanim yechtu chas v'shalom b'nei Yisrael. Maybe one time the Jews, chas v'shalom, might sin. Vahagoyim yetivu as maseim, and the goyim will, other nations will improve their behavior. The az yamer kadosh baruch hu sonachas v'shalom b'macheres. Maybe Hashem will substitute nations, right? Maybe there will come a time, like certain Christian beliefs believe that there was a time that the Jews used to be the chosen people, but that's why it's called the Old Testament. It's not relevant anymore. It's an old one. So what? Maybe that might happen. Lefichach nitzvah parshas pekud demadegalim ela amr b'sof vayikra. The Jewish people's place, as is expressed by the Degalim, remember the last pasuk in Vayikra. There's no substitution. There's no tamura. Hashem will never be meimer. Hashem will never violate. Lo yivakar mitov l'ra, v'lo yimirenu. Kima maram, v'afu nishbalanu. He swears to us, she'in mavro son abu ma'acheres, he will never exchange us for another ummah. I'd like to mention in this context, I mentioned this before, Rav Soloveitchik has an amazing ha'ara. If we think about the summer for a minute, we think about the 3 weeks and the 9 days and Tisha B'Av, the whole process that gets more and more and more intense, right? The opposite of other, it's more intense, and opposite of regular Avelos, which gets less and less intense, Avelos Yishana. So it gets more and more intense, and that, until when? When does it get less intense? When do we feel a little lighter? So if you think about it, and it's really true, Tisha B'Av afternoon, we put on tefillin, we sit on chairs, all of a sudden, we're already thinking about laundry and food, right, after Chatzos on Tisha B'Av afternoon. So is that just because we're finite, we've had enough, it's been 9 days, and we can't do better, we can't hold off anymore? Or is there something deeper about that behavior of Klal Yisrael? And what makes matters worse is that Rabbi Yochanan says in Maseches Tainis that if it was up to him, he would have made Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av. Why? Because the fire started burning Tisha B'Av afternoon, but the Iker burning took place on the 10th. But we go Aschuli Parnusa. We go up by the beginning of the Parnas. So the burning started on the 15th, in the afternoon of the Tisha B'Av, and that's Dafka when we feel a little better. So Soloveitchik said, based on the Medrash, that Rashi and Tosfos quote, that really up until the last moment, even up until Hashem, Titus and Nebuzradan, respectively, until they put the torch to the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaMikdash itself started burning, nobody was sure, not even the angels, what Hashem would decide. Would he punish those who are really deserving of punishment, which means us, the Jewish people who sinned, or would he take a collateral? Would he take a security? And that's the Beis HaMikdash. Burn the Beis HaMikdash, but don't destroy the people. What would he do? And ironically, the second that the Beis HaMikdash started burning, that showed us Lo Yamir Oso, that he'll never exchange us. And he'll never substitute us. And therefore, even though it's burning and it's terrible, the second that the burning started, we feel a little lighter. Because we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, that he'll never exchange us, and he'll never choose a different nation instead of us, no matter what other nations might say. And again, as we have mentioned, the fact that we're still around kind of proves that point. Good. We continue. The Medrash, a lot on the first pasuk, a lot of Hakdama in the first pasuk, but this is really about the whole sefer. I think we might have done this thought in past years from another sefer, but it's quoted by a few. It's from the introduction to the Or HaMeir, which is the Meir Shapiro sefer. It's quoted here in the Kol Yechiyo, which is a Likut. But the Medrash says at the beginning of the parsha. B'shloshet, and it has to do with Shavuos also, so it's a good thought to review. B'shloshet v'ram nitna Torah, ba'esh, ba'mayim, ba'midbar. The Torah was given with three. Water, fire, and desert. The Gemara says that Torah is compared to all of those. Torah is compared to fire, and to water, and to desert. But says the Arameir, Hakav ha'ofyani, shal am Yisrael huzeh, are a defining feature. Shemiyom hayos la'am gila tamid mesiris nefesh ba'atoraso ve'emunaso. From the day that we became an am, what we have excelled in is mesiris nefesh. Mesiris nefesh for the am. B'nei Yisrael halchu el hagardumim umoktos ha'esh. We went to the places where it was either the cross or live or die. Nasnu savarim l'shchita. They gave over their necks. Kavsu l'toch hayam. Mazru eschayayim. Mesiris nefesh is something that after thousands of years of galus will be something that we will be able to stand proud of. Did we learn enough? Maybe not. Did we daven with enough kavana? Maybe not. Did we do enough chesed? Again, all of these we did a lot. Well, we moser enough nefesh that we could stand up and say yes. We could stand up and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have nothing. We have nothing to hide. Where did this koach come from? Of Am Yisrael being able to just give for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says three events in our early history. Three events. Koach zev etchuna zu bo lidei gilui ikari bishlosha ma'oro shel divra yimei ha'am. Three events. Number one, line seven, Avraham. Avraham Avinu nizrak l'kifshon ha'esh. Fire. What's fire? Torah was given to the nation of fire. Avram kivshon ha'esh, ba'ad emunaso, thrown in by Nimrod. Ubazed natach es ha'koach shem esiris nefesh b'banav. And he put that koach into his descendants, into his children. The koach of esiris nefesh. Through fire. Number one. Number two, v'mhaya zeh atzad shel yachid mura me'am. And if you want to say, oh, that's only one person. One person can be moser nefesh. Harei ba ma'or ha'sheni shel kriyas yamsuf. Shos kafatz am shalem el toch hayam. A whole nation went in, into the yam, not knowing if the yam would come splashing down on them any moment. Lofi atzivu shel vayisu, right, to the tzivu of they traveled. So that's number two. So individual, Avram Avinu. Number two, the nation, mayim, that's kriyas yamsuf. V'yim tomar, and if you want to say, okay, that's fire and that's water, V'im tomahar is a higher rock nisayon shel rega, but that's only a momentary. Everybody could be moser nefesh for a moment, right? To have to do it for an extended period of time, right? Some say that's the difference between we call the akedah Avram Avinu's test, not Yitzchak's. Why? Yitzchak was the one that was going to be killed, so shouldn't it be Yitzchak's test? And yet it's counted as one of the ten nisyonos of Avram. Yitzchak, it was a one-time giving of one's life. It was giving your life, but it was a one-second. Avram Avinu was going to have to live with this for the rest of his life. He was going to have to live with this. So you might say, Hari Zerach Nisaron Shel Rega, a moment. Bama Ora HaShlishi, what's the third? Kasher B'nei Yisrael Holchu LaMidbar, Shmama. The Jews went into the desert. Shoreitz Chayos Ro'os, V'Nechashim Akrabim. Again, wild animals, snakes and scorpions. L'lo Mazun Umayim, without food, without water. Letkufa mumushachas, for an extended period of time, rach mitok ahavasa mumesirusa lashem leneviyo. That's the midbar. Hodos l'shoshet esyonis elu, eish mayim midbar, that paved the way for all of Klal Yisrael forevermore to excel in mesiris nefesh. And that's the three, the medrash, b'shloshet v'ram nitna Torah, b'eish, b'mayim, and b'midbar. Okay. Let's get past the first pasuk. Get past the first pasuk, and then we'll have one thought related to Shavuos. Says the pasuk later on. As we know, we have a lot of countings. So in Perek Beis, pasuk Yudalas, we have all the nasiim. So one of the nasiim that is listed, the nasi to Bnei Gad, to God is Eliasaph ben Reuel. Eliasaph ben Reuel is the Nasi of God. That's in Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Dalet. Matei God v'Nasi l'nei God, Eliasaph ben Reuel. Right, the question is that if you look earlier in Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet, Aleph Yud Dalet, says the Torah, Legat, interesting, it's Aleph Yudalit and Beis Yudalit. Nothing coincidental in the Torah. Eliasaph ben Deuel. That's what we're familiar with. We hear that all the time on Mondays and Thursdays. So the question is, why is the first one say Deuel and the second one say Reuel? So the Chidah explains in one of his many Svarim, that line that you have it there in line 4, Shasiba Shashivit God Zacha, Shemoshe Rabbeinu Nikvar Bechelko. Right? God got Moshe Rabbeinu. But so you might say, well, it's got to be one of three, because he didn't go there to Israel. So Reuven, God, or Menashe. So why was God Zoche? You would think Reuven is the Bechor. Right? So why was God Zoche to have Moshe Rabbeinu buried in his section? Lefishek Shemina Moshe as Don LaRosh Degel. Because when Moshe appointed Don, remember there were four heads of the side, there were four sides. Dun was one of the heads of the sides. So when he was pointed, God could have been very upset. Haya yachol God liton, kind of like what Reuben could have complained. Ani b'char l'zilpa, v'dun b'char l'bila. Right, I'm b'char to Zilpa. Right, I'm older. Madua eini rosh degel kamohu. Right, why is that, why aren't I a rosh degel? V'lo diber negin Moshe me'uma. And why he didn't say a word to Moshe? L'chein zakash yikaver Moshe. He kept his mouth quiet. He kept his mouth shut. That's the godless of a god. But because of that, he became Reuel Rea Kel, the friend of God. Reuel, right? That's what was changed. Really, his name was Deuel, but it was changed to Reuel, the friend of Hashem, because of the power to be able to keep quiet. Right? As it says in Pirkei Avos, Lo Matzasi L'Guf Tov Mishtika. There's nothing greater than that. And then here in the Hilas Anigbus Hanukim, there's a story that's told. You might have heard this story, but the story is told about the Stei Chemed. The Stei Chemed was one of the most amazing books. The first encyclopedia, not the first, I shouldn't say, there were others earlier, the Akedat Yitzchak, but an encyclopedia in the 1800s that preceded the Encyclopedia Talmudit. The encyclopedia is a rub in Chevron and in Europe. So Stei Chemed says the moment that he became great, right? The Stei Chemed. He was an Avreich learning. He was a young Avreich. He tells the story. He told over this story. Lamati Bekolel. He was sitting, and he was one of the best guys in the Kolel. But Echad Mibnei Chabura Shinis Kanabi, there was one of the Bnei Chabura that was pretty jealous of him, and he wanted to get him, you know, not to be in the good graces. So what did he do? He went and he hired the Mishareses, the woman who used to clean the yeshiva. This other Kolel guy, paid her to publicize a lie, that he committed a sin with her, and the rest would be history. And that's what happened. Kishmoan Hashem es divrei dibasa, es kal svivi kalav. They came, and they said, what do you... And he said, she said, this is what he did to me. Rosh Kolel lo ha'amin l'divrei ha'mishareses. The Rosh Kolel didn't believe her, but so he fired her. But this guy's reputation was ruined, so he had to leave too. I guess the guy who hired her was happy. La'achat kufa mesuyemes. After a little while, kasher kalu kol demei hashochad mikisa, when the bribery money that she was paid ran out, she realized, now I don't have a job, I don't have money, what am I going to do? She went and found the Stei Chemed and said to him, I'm sorry, I know I made up the whole thing, you know, I will go and publicize that I was hired and I made up the whole thing. I just need a job. If you could go tell, you know, ask my former employer, you know, to take me back, and I'll go to the papers and I'll tell them that it was all a made up story. So Stei Chemed thought to himself, he says it was a very hard decision. What should I do? I feel bad for this woman, but what? But I don't want to cause even more Chilul Hashem. First of all, I'm going to do it again, and it's going to be rehashed, and it's going to be in the newspapers. So what did he do? He went and he says, "Amati b'fane hitlatut kasha." Line 18. Mitzad echad samachti al hizdamnut la yichalti zezvar rav. I've waited for this moment. Sheshmi yitu harman aketam shadavakba. My name will be purified. Ach mitzad sheni chashavti hari negvar kvar niram chil Hashem. A terrible chil Hashem that happened already. V'misparsim adavar she'adam in Ashura. One of the kolo guys, right, hired even more chil Hashem. Terrible. You know, better. He said, better. I'll stay embarrassed. But he didn't know, and he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to convince the employer to take you back. I'm going to convince them to take you back, but don't say a word publicly. Kacha, that's what he did. Which I'm not saying is anything that Lamaisa, but at the moment, the Sechamim says at the moment that he was did that, he said he felt the gates of wisdom open up in his head. And he felt that Kfishas Ayetzer, he kept his embarrassment inside. Because what good would it do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of these people. You know, I don't have to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. And this guy's not going to do it again, hopefully. So he doesn't think that he would do it again, a danger to society. But he says, that's where the Stechemet came from. The ability to keep quiet. And that's, we learned that from Du'u'el and Ru'u'el, the Stechemet says. One final point related to Inyani Shavuos. And I think we've mentioned this in the past from the Meshul Chachma, but I found it 300 years before, the same idea in the words of the Kiryat Sefer, the Mabit. The Mabit is the contemporary of the Beis Yosef, 1500s, 350 years before the Meshul Chachma. And he has, we're not going to read the whole thing, but in his Akdama to the Sefer of his commentary on the Rambam, he asked the Kasha, Shavuos, Kabbalas HaTorah, Taryag Mitzvahs. It's impossible for any one Jew to do Taryag Mitzvahs. It's impossible. If you think about it, he goes through this whole paragraph here in source number 12, where he goes through so many different categories of mitzvahs. Look on line 28. Klal ha'ole, she'ein shalem, she'yischaye v'yikayim kol yayeg mitzvah. It's impossible. And therefore, imkain. Eich amru, she'ha mitzvahs in k'neged evarev shel adam. How is it that we know the Zohar tells us that every mitzvah is connected to another part of the body, and every lo saseh is connected to another day, and every limb says, do the mitzvah for me, and every lo saseh says, don't do me, but so many mitzvahs don't apply to me. But I have all those limbs, v'yim kein, eich amru, sheha mitzvos hin k'neged evarev shel adam, shekol eivar ve'eivar omer aseh, ki a mitzvah v'asaris kol yom v'yom omer li, al taseh. Say, how is it possible? But it's a simin, but Chazal say that there's 248, there's 365, the sinews and the limbs. So what's pshat? How does one Jew do every mitzvah? So he gives two answers, but again, we're just going to be mosif on one of the answers. What are the two answers? Number one, he says on the bottom, still source number 12, v'haderach achad, ki biyos Yisrael nichlasu arevim zelazeh bargizim areval. Well, all Jews are connected to each other. So if I do what I'm supposed to do, and you do what you're supposed to do, and he does what he's supposed to do, then collectively, we have all done Korah Torah Kula. And we get the credit, because we're all looked at as one being. So maybe that's what the Zohar means. All together, Klal Yisrael is one organism, and we each do what we're supposed to do. And therefore, collectively, we all do Korah Torah Kula. One idea. But then he says the second idea, which I just wanted to be most about. Again, both of these ideas are found in the Meshech Chachma already, based on two different psukim, Naseh v'Nishma, Naseh. But in the end of 13, he says, Haderach HaBeis, Kishekibel Adam Lasos, Kol Mashin Etztavim Epi HaGvura. I do whatever I could do, all those mitzvos. Ki'ilu Asan, I did them. V'yakabalai Dei HaKriya Techashiv Kemaisa. And whatever I can't do, I learn. I can't do a mitzvah, I learn about it. I'm not a king, I can learn about the mitzvahs of a king. I'm not a Kohen, I can learn about the mitzvahs of a Kohen. I'm not a Bezdin, I can learn about. So whatever mitzvah I do, myself I could do, and whatever mitzvah I can't do, I learn about it, and that at least is somewhat of a kiyum. But we've given that answer before, but I never really thought deeply about that second approach. But it still says that 248, 365 apply to me. So you want to say, I'm going to learn about the mitzvah of eating truma, because I'm not a Kohen, I can't eat it. That's learning. How does that get me the mitzvah of truma? You know what you see? If you look in the Sefer Mitzvahs HaMelech, Rabbi Cement from Chicago, one of the Sefarim on Sefer HaMitzvahs, you know what you see from there? It must be that if I learn about a mitzvah, there's two elements. There's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and there's the mitzvah. Within every mitzvah has a section about learning about that mitzvah. And that's a partial kiyum of that mitzvah. Just like we have a question in Lumdis, in many sugyas, Lifnei Iver, what we call Klali Prati. Is Lifnei Iver, right, facilitating somebody doing an Avera, is that the same for all Averas? Lifnei Iver of all Averas is Lifnei Iver? Or is there a Lifnei Iver section of every single Avera? There's Lifnei Iver of pig, and there's Lifnei Iver of, right, Chinuch, the mitzvah of Chinuch. Is that a general mitzvah of doing Chinuch for all mitzvahs, or is there a separate Chinuch section on every mitzvah? You know what you see from this idea? Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, fine, to learn Kala Torah Kula. But also every mitzvah has a section about it, Talmud Torah of that mitzvah. But when I learn, it's a partial kiyum of the mitzvah, not just of Talmud Torah. So that's a chiddush, and that's what we have to do as we celebrate Kabbalas HaTorah, Havalein HaLatova, Shavuos. We have to recognize that it's a day, and Talmud Torah is a privilege and a way that we could, A, learn Torah, but also fulfill each of the mitzvos that we learn about and get a partial fulfillment in that way as well. We shall be zochet to have a full and complete Kabbalas HaTorah, and be zochet to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that learning. There's no shiur next week. There's just no night to give a shiur, B'Hashem, so we'll pick up with Bahaloscha. Nasa, there won't be a shiur. Bahaloscha will be the next shiur.